This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel. Hour two, three-hour extravaganza. First day, basically, we're all spread out and doing it from the casas. But, hey, it is what it is, having some good discussion. The thing is when we were getting into all that, I will say this, though. The one thing that Cuban that I give him a lot of credit for, too, aside from trying to do what he was trying to do to take care of his employees and small businesses on top of that, and the fact that someone suggested, too, you don't have to give them their entire salary because hourly you don't know what they would have made, and you can give them a portion of it just to try and help make a difference so they can stay afloat. But I did see, and I retweeted this the other day, when you were talking about the fact that, Barry, when you got into the politics of it and the Dems and the Republicans and who's doing what, he basically sent a tweet to both Senator Schumer and John Cornyn of Texas on both sides of the aisle and said, both of you need to do your effing job. Stop kissing progressive ass. We can't solve every problem in this deal. Stop kissing big corporate ass. They don't need buybacks or executive bonuses. They have no choice but to take any deal they can get, essentially just looking out for the common man and the general public. And I give them credit for that because a lot of people don't want the backlash. And we kidded about it. I kidded about it with you about careful because AJ made a comment or two yesterday to be political, and all of a sudden he had some idiot fly on the wall just coming at him 100 miles an hour. You can't win to go political, but I give Cuban at least credit for putting his foot in the water to say, look, enough is enough.
I'm with you on that. And I did see the troll on AJ's Twitter account going after him. And it was obvious halfway through that that's a troll account, right? We all agree that wasn't a real person. That was somebody just trolling him.
I mean,
no way somebody was that stupid and over the top.
It was a real person. It was just a fake account. He probably just made an account. I mean,
yeah, he may be hiding because I know the pub. When he said meet me at Pub Fiction, I was like, don't tell me this is some meathead bouncer in Midtown.
No. Real quick, I did get one tweet. Anthony on Twitter said, Barry, if you use the same math you got to $100 million given out, it would take Fertitta's casino 158 days to profit $100 million without paying his employees a dime. Here's the thing, though. Once you pay the employees $100 million, you don't get to replace that $100 million with profit and say, well, now it's replaced, because that would have been an extra $100 million that you would lose. So unless the employees give you back the $100 million, you're always going to be out that $100 million. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, and again, we could go on forever on this, but I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, like I said, my biggest takeaway from this was I have a totally different I'm getting a totally different perception of Tillman than I had when he bought the team and since he's bought the team.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm that's a whole different thing, right? Like, how is he as a person, as a businessman, and as a boss versus what are his responsibilities in times like this for any business person? What is their responsibilities to their employees? And I think most business people try to do the right thing. Not all. There's obviously some jerks out there. But I think most know, because without employees, you don't have a business. It works both ways, right? Without a business, you don't have a job. But without employees, you don't have a business. So I think most people try to do the reasonable and right thing. It just sometimes you can't.
But Barry, that's the point I was trying to make from a public perception. I mean, if Tillman did this and didn't own the Rockets and did everything that he was doing, it'd be water under the bridge. I don't think it would be publicized as much. I don't think it definitely would have been. It wouldn't be criticized as much, and it wouldn't be put under the microscope. But the minute you get involved and put yourself out there publicly, and we know how sports does that, now suddenly everybody's a critic. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's pointing a finger, and that's when I get to the point of saying, once he became an NBA owner, on top of it, now he put himself out there 100 times more, 100,000 times more, with the amount of people that are going to take shots at him.
Yeah, that is true.
See, this Somebody is why said, well, this is why Cal benefits from hiding behind everything.
Yes.
Cal, you know what I mean? Because he doesn't have to answer. He's not known to address people like that.
there is something to be said about that, Nick. You're right, because obviously Mr. McNair was a guy, and a lot of these guys, and whether, you know, you hear the old theory of, you know, rich people always need yes men because they need to be, you know, validated every single day. And then the other thing is they all basically want the attention to be someone famous, that their money gives them that. And I saw it over and over again in working with the Rockets too, with the fact that, and we talk about it all the time, but, you know, guys that have money that are in prestigious positions but don't have the media attention on a daily basis like they see from celebrities and athletes, they clamor for that in a lot of ways. Mr. McNair was more apt to want to put himself out there and put him in front of a microphone. Cal's the exact opposite. He wants to hide. Tillman has proven that, again, and he's paying for it in times like this, that with the Warriors series and everything else, he wants to be that kind of Mark Cuban-esque outspoken owner that says, we want to kick the Warriors' ass, and this isn't acceptable, and we're going to do that, just so he gets the cameras and all the attention.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, boys, let's roll on. We'll take a break to catch up on that. But also, the NCAA added again. Someone trying to do good, and the NCAA won't allow it just for the sake of being the NCAA with no rhyme or reason? Yeah, it's happened again. We can talk about that and a whole bunch more as we get into hour number two of A Way Back Wednesday right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number two of A Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as eight songs, Barry, if you had to quarantine, that you would select, right? Eight songs.
Correct.
To be quarantined
if
with.
If you could only have eight songs.
Now, the, Nick gets seven on his own. Nick gets seven, and then you get to pick the what version of the eighth that he picks. So,
yeah, so yes. Like, what is this?
I get to pick the remix.
Faith Evans, Love Like This.
Yep, great song. And, yep.
Great.
I'm going
to
tell you
down
this.
Is one of the greatest songs of all time to you.
No,
you know why? Well, I hope you feel like an ass when I tell you why. Because Taylor loves it, and Taylor actually, in the car, this is the song that she requests. Because there's certain parts she likes the yeah, 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 yeah. And there's a couple of parts where she really waits for it and then she sings it. And the other day we were outside and I couldn't for the life of me remember that song that she liked. I was like, which Faith Evans song do you like again? She goes, you know, Daddy. And she sings the chorus and just starts dancing. And I'm like, you know what? I will always make that one of my favorite songs because I remember how much she sings the song and dances to it.
Well, now I don't feel like an ass because, okay.
I don't like this version, though. I like the remix.
Oh, what do you?
Oh, jeez.
Here we go again.
Isn't the remix better, Barry?
Oh, that's way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
You picked the wrong version, just like Barry did.
Yeah. Well, all right. Now, hold on.
Yeah, just wait until Barry has another list next week, and I say, Nick, just pick whichever version you like of any of the eight. Go ahead.
I didn't even know that this song had a remix, but it
so
popped up in Google
you like
search.
You like the non-talented DJ that likes to just get his voice on recordings to just yell, here we go, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Fat Man Scoop, that's the remix.
In this case, yep. Yeah, because everybody knows Fat Man Scoop and the work he's done, right?
Let Me Clear My Throat? Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Who doesn't
sounds
know
like a
Let
guy-
Me Clear My Throat?
Fat sounds like poop. A guy that has a doggy poop pickup business. If you don't want to pick up your own poop in the backyard, Fat Man Scoop.
That wasn't DJ Cool, or was DJ Cool made a remix of that? Of Let Me Clear My Throat.
I thought Fat Man Scoop was on the DJ Cool song.
Oh, maybe it was.
Get him, Nick. You're rolling today. Wrong. You're on fire today, Nick Sciarra.
Because I didn't think it was him that did Let Me Clear My Throat, but he might be on the song. He might be on the song.
Someone
will school
Fat
us
Man
on
Scoop
the text
before.
Line.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. So I wanted to see if you guys saw this. The NCAA was added again. just another reason where with them sticking – another example of them sticking their nose where it doesn't belong for something that they should just mind their own business on. Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence and his girlfriend Marissa Mowry, who's a soccer player at Anderson University, launched a GoFundMe page to help raise money for family relief and support for coronavirus victims. And the NCAA heard about it, called Clemson, and their compliance officials said, shut it down. He can't do this. Stop doing it. And then after they got backlash, then they started to step back on it and backtrack a little bit and go, you know what? Maybe he can do it. By then, all the luster and all the excitement of it is off.
Wow. Good job, NCAA, you idiots. Once again, they had to rush to make some rash decision. It's almost like the NCAA, there's no common sense when it comes to how they perceive athletes and what they do. It's just amazing to me.
They don't have bigger issues to deal with and bigger fish to fry than worry about a kid trying to do some good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing to me. I mean, the kid had the initiative and the idea to go, you know what? I'm a big enough name in this area of the country, and thanks to college football, that I might be able to make a difference in people's lives that are dealing with this horrible pandemic. And the NCAA went, you know what? No, you stop right now because we'll think of a reason.
Here's
you may
thing.
Profit.
If you're the NCAA and you're worried about it, okay, let him do his thing and then audit the books and see where all the money goes. And if you see that, hey, what is this payout here or that payout there, then you can raise questions and then you can punish him. But he's trying to raise money in the middle of a pandemic. This pandemic is bigger than your stupid ass organization and your whack rules when it comes to sports and athletes. Let this man use his star power to raise money to help people, you dumbasses.
Yeah, you nailed it, because here's the thing. There isn't a Trevor Lawrence Foundation where, you know, he's got all these different ways of bringing money in every single day to where then he has this massive fund and he gets to dictate what he wants to do with it as a professional athlete would. You're exactly right. Just have it just on one GoFundMe account. Make sure that the books are transparent and wide open, and every penny is accounted for going to help and support of people dealing with the virus, and be done with it. But don't just come in from the very get-go without at least talking to him. You can talk to him privately and go, hey, we're going to allow this, but you've got to make these – you've got to say publicly, you've got to make the books open. Transparency is key. And you've got to highlight who you're going to help, and then that's it. But there's ways to go ahead and kind of police this without coming in and being just the grim reaper and shutting it down.
Yeah, and the NCAA can't get out of its own way sometimes. They're dumbasses for real.
They really are. So at least they came back after the Clemson University got involved too and just said, look, come on, you know, you guys got to rethink this. And they finally switched gears and said, look, we'll continue to work with our member schools so they have flexibility to ensure that student athletes and communities impacted by the illness are supported, and we really applaud and appreciate Trevor and his efforts, which is what they should have said from the get-go.
Right.
And just say, and we will be with him every step of the way to ensure that this is a one-time thing and it only goes to the benefit of people dealing with the virus.
You know, if you just did the right thing to begin with, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. And that just is literally across the board. The NCAA, the right thing to do was to let the kid do his fundraiser. And now you got to go back and save face and look like idiots. It's just like, I don't know if you saw this, but I saw the link on our rundown about this Pornhub article, which we're obviously going to get to in the third hour. But but you saw where the government basically came out and said, hey, if you have masks and you're hoarding them, expect a knock on your door.
Yeah,
and then lo and behold, all these big businesses like Apple are like, hey, we're donating 9 million masks to healthcare workers. Well, where were you a week ago before the government had to threaten you to come up with it? Just do the right thing, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't look like an idiot after the fact. You don't look like a-holes.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
And again, and I'm giving Mark Cuban a lot of credit, but he was the one that called out Google and Facebook and Apple and said, do the right thing from the get-go, and you don't have to have these people knocking at your door. You're absolutely right. And he called out more than just one company. But you know, for every Apple, you know, that's hoarding things, everybody else is hoarding it too.
Yep.
That's how they got rich.
Facebook is the same way. They were hoarding masks, and now all of a sudden they're donating them. Where were you guys weeks ago when you knew that there was this crisis for masks and your companies were hoarding them? It's just bad.
And also,
I'm not giving up
my
iPad, but shame on you, Apple.
And also, scarily, why are you hoarding masks?
Hey, what about Android?
Well, it was for California fires.
Okay. All right. If there's a good reason, but otherwise I'd be like...
Well, that's why they had them, was for the California fires. But that's secondary to what the country is dealing with, what the healthcare workers in this country are dealing with. Donate your masks, you idiots.
Yeah. You can always, again, you can always buy more masks later. We're not dealing with a pandemic. All right. We're dealing with a break, so we're going to take it. We're going to come back in just mere minutes. More of the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first half of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Wayback Wednesday. Eight songs that you would select if you were dealing with something like the coronavirus and you were on lockdown. You could only have eight songs. What would they be? Barry had hour number one. I have hour number two. Nick has hour number three. Nick, I assume at some point we'll either publish the lists or people can go back and use the
podcast. Very shortly, yes.
Okay. So there you have it. Yeah, as soon as his list is done, and then Barry gets to critique at least one. Then when we get through that, then we can actually have fair list. And I like the fact that then the minute that I go to your defense, you take Nick's side, and then it just gets all out of whack again. I just, okay.
What? Oh, my God. Do you need a hug?
No.
Are you okay?
Yeah, virtual hug. Yeah, I expect it on Twitter. Give me a virtual hug on Twitter, Barry. I can't wait.
I'm happy to report the Instapot is going great, guys. I know you were worried.
What are you making in your Instapot?
Yeah. Well, today I'm going to be making baked potatoes. So
you can do that in the oven and the microwave.
Yeah, you could do that in an oven or a broiler. What's the benefit of doing it in the Instapot? Crispier?
It's faster. No, it's just faster. 10 minutes. Baked potatoes. Done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let us know how that goes.
You know how long it takes to make a baked potato in the microwave?
Yeah.
10 minutes.
No, it doesn't.
If that.
Yeah, but then it gets all like the outer edge is all hard and you're trying to chew it. And it's like you might as well be chewing on a bone at some point because it all gets all hard and nasty. You can't microwave anything like bread or potatoes. They get hard with the outer, you know, the skin on them still. Yeah, it's not good. This way they stay moist and delicious. I like my women like I like my potatoes.
All right.
I award you no points.
Ah, you shut the hell up.
Now you would have gotten some points, Barry, if you got the remix version.
Okay. That's probably not.
See? Nick's remixing
today.
Hey,
Joel.
Yes.
You're not going to watch The Tiger King, are you?
I've heard people talking about it. Yeah. I did see that we got a notification that we're over past due on our Netflix account, so there's going to be a tough decision. Few tough decisions have to be made. Do I watch it or not? Do I renew or not? There's, you know.
How do you not have it on auto bill? You pay your Netflix bill?
I thought Lisa did, but I saw an email. I'll have to ask.
He writes a check every month for $7.99. And he mails
it to
Netflix.
He's the Western Union. Old ass Joel. I sent it in a telegram and then I pay for it with a... How do you not have it on auto bill? Like every
normally we have
person.
Everything on. I don't know, but Lisa takes care of that, and I'll have to find out.
Now, Nick, have you watched it yet, The Tiger King?
No, but I am seriously watching it tonight. Seriously. Because everybody, I've been getting texts. I've been getting all kinds of messages from friends. And I've been on a Netflix kick anyway, so.
You guys need to watch that so we can discuss it on this show. And Joel, do not let, well, I would probably not let Lisa watch it.
Yeah, that's
there's nothing
probably
terrible that happens to animals, but like there are some mean guys on there that aren't nice to the animals, but they're it's all speculation and hearsay. But you should watch. You should definitely watch it. It's entertaining to say the least. They're crazy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it doesn't matter because I've learned that even the things that I think could be the most tame animal related things, I find out in watching them with her that they end up being offensive to her in some way, shape, or form in those things. So, yeah, you're probably right. I'm probably not going to watch that one with her.
Well, as of April 1st, you need to renew because as of April 1st, this is what's going to be dropping on Netflix. You ready? Bloodsport. Uh-huh. Huh? Bloodsport? You big Bloodsport guy?
That's the Vin Diesel movie?
What?
The Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
Oh, my God. Yes, it's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, what's the new flick that's out with Vin Diesel where he gets killed and they bring him back? Yeah, Blood something or other. And they were going to have the movie out in the theaters, and because of the coronavirus, it's going right to – I thought it was going right to Netflix.
I don't know what you're talking about, but that's not Bloodsport.
All right.
Are you a Cheech and Chong guy?
Used to be way back when way back in the day.
Up in Smoke is going to be on Netflix. Nick.
Okay.
All the Lethal Weapons, Minority Report, which, by the way, isn't a documentary.
Bloodshot. Bloodshot is the new movie.
Okay. I see the confusion.
Yeah.
Okay. School Days, huh? School Days.
Oh, okay.
Soul Plane. Joel, you're a Soul Plane guy for sure, aren't you?
No. Heard about it, but never saw it.
All the Matrix, The Hangover. It's like they know something's going on. They're like, let's just get all this out there. The Social Network. So there's a ton of stuff dropping April 1st. So you need to renew.
I just saw everybody pass in the hallway. I'll have to ask, what is the status of our Netflix account?
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's some good stuff that's coming back to our movies that you may have seen before, but are worth watching again. So
Nick,
and,
I would think
you need to watch The Tiger King.
I would think that Nick would really enjoy Cheech and Chong.
I've seen it. I like it. I love what they do now. I mean, this guy's been pretty vocal about it since day one, in a time where you would go to jail for a long time for having just possession of that. So, I mean, yeah, they're funny movies too. I mean,
oh yeah. Back in the day, they were, everybody had, and of course this will date it even more, but everybody had the albums and everybody was listening to Cheech and Chong. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and then the movies came out after, because it really was. It was albums first, and then it progressed to movies, and then the movies were everybody was going to see them too.
My uncle would always get aggravated with me because I would always tell him he looked like Cheech.
You had a mustache like that?
My uncle did. My uncle looked almost. If I had an old picture with me, I would text it to the both of you. He looked almost identical to Cheech. Like
really,
and he hated when I said that.
Wow.
That's great.
Did you guys see that Steve Ballmer is buying the Forum?
I did.
$400 million and a couple of things. So Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, is buying the what used to be called the Fabulous Forum. $400 million cash.
Damn.
And guess who he's buying it from?
The New York, is it the New York, the Madison?
James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks and MSG.
Yep, because they're the ones who own it.
Yeah, and when I look, I couldn't believe that Dolan.
That's confusing.
Dolan and MSG owned the Forum. They bought it for, and I saw the numbers, they bought it for, between what they purchased it and what they did to upgrade it a little bit, was a total of less than $100 million. And he sold it for $400 million.
Probably still needs to upgrade it too.
Well, and when the LA Sparks were from a WNBA perspective, they were playing in that. The LA used it as kind of like their version of the Smart Financial here in Sugar Land, where the events that were not big enough to fill the Toyota Center, they needed a smaller venue for, they would go to the Forum. But now what they're – and by the way, $400 million cash? You guys joke about me writing a check, but what do they got, Brinks trucks pulling up to the freaking front doors of Madison Square Garden and dropping off just suitcases, right? Or $400 million in cash? And
that's pretty crazy.
Now the rumor is that they're going to – the first rumor was that Ballmer and the Clippers are going to either renovate or tear down and rebuild, but they're going to have their own separate home away from the Lakers.
Really?
Yeah. So completely getting out of Staples Center and that whole environment. Now, early on, Ballmer has said, we're going to use it as a music venue. Again, getting back to like the smart financial as opposed to booking Staples Center. But you got to believe if he paid that much money for that building and it's on that piece of real estate, which I want to say is very, very close to the new football stadium for the Chargers and the Rams, I would think that his aspirations long term are that he's going to build or either renovate or build a building that's going to have his NBA team in it as well.
You think James Dolan owning the Forum would be like Jerry Jones owning the Astrodome? I feel like.
I think it's crazier than that because you're talking about on two different polar opposites of the country. It would be like Magic Johnson and the Dodgers owning Yankee Stadium.
Okay. Yeah.
I just think
it's just weird.
Geographically, yeah, that's just strange to me. When I saw that, when I first saw that Ballmer bought the team, I was like, oh yeah, okay. Then the bigger story to me was he bought it from who? How in the hell did James Dolan and MSG buy the Forum?
Can we excuse Steve Ballmer for not, if he hadn't given anything back with the whole coronavirus situation? Can we excuse him from that? Hey, Ballmer, What are you going to do to give back with the whole coronavirus situation? Nothing. I just dropped $400 million. I'm not giving a penny. Not a dime.
That crossed my mind. Like, oh.
But James Dolan, you're $400 million richer, sir.
Boy, I tell you what.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, I don't know.
So how does that work if it's really cash? They're not really, like, withdrawing cash. There's got to be some sort of direct deposit. That's the cash, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're just transferring funds. Yeah.
It's a wire transfer.
There's no dude carrying a suitcase with, you know, handcuffed to his wrist or anything like that?
No, but could you imagine? That's like I said. Could you imagine that transaction when these massive Brinks trucks with all this security around them pulls up at the front doors of Madison Square Garden and wants to get to James Dolan's office so they can drop off $400 million?
Woo. So we talked a little bit about Netflix. On the other side, can we talk a little bit about UVerse? Because they're raising prices, and that baffles me.
Okay. And during the break, I'm going to ask Lisa about Netflix. How about that?
Do it.
There you go. All right, much more of the show as we continue with hour number two of the 3-hour extravaganza. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! It's The Usual Suspects, rolling through hour number 2 3-hour show right here on ESPN 97.5. Hope everybody's having a good day on their first day of self-quarantining, I guess you could say. Nick, I do worry about you. But
I'll be all right.
The fact that you have a letter means as long as they do take out beverages, you should be fine.
I'm good. I'll be fine. I'm wiping everything down. I'm social distancing. I'm doing the whole nine.
Let me ask you this. So Charlie was in there today?
He was.
Do we have any, because we know, and Barry and I saw and heard and felt the Richter scale go off when his laptop fell out of his bag the other day. Do we know if he has plans in the not so distant future to at least try to do something from home?
Well, for him, I don't know if it's – he's got a solid excuse, if I'm not mistaken. And our IT guy, Barry, can jump in. He doesn't have the proper technology. He's a PC. He's not a Mac.
I think
that's what it is. I think because he doesn't have an iPad. He doesn't have an iPhone. He doesn't have a MacBook. He cannot participate in what we're doing right now.
I have a Samsung phone and used my Samsung phone with no problem yesterday.
I wouldn't say no problem, but because I have the same phone you do.
Charlie has a flip, so it doesn't
oh,
work.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you're not going to be able to connect on a jitterbug. No way. That's not going to happen. You got those four buttons. It's like emergency, grandkids. You know, that's it. So I get
Charlie's upgrade was getting rid of the landline rotary phone for a flip. Okay. And honestly, I don't think that's too far-fetched. So no. I'm just curious, as we encourage everybody to do this broadcast from home thing, how Charlie's possibly going to try and pull that off.
That's going to be interesting.
I verified
it doesn't work on laptops. You can't use a MacBook or a PC laptop, but you can use an iPad or if you have a Samsung tablet. It has to be a mobile device, not a laptop.
I have a MacBook Air currently, and I think we all have similar. I think Charlie has like a Microsoft Thud, because his laptop must weigh about 50 pounds.
It's a big. It looks like a drive-in theater screen. It's very large.
I think for people listening, wherever they're listening from, to give you proper perspective, the TV Barry just bought for his office, if it opened up and was very heavy, that's what Charlie carries around to do to all of his computer work.
If it had a keyboard.
Yes.
If my 32-inch screen had a keyboard, it would be Charlie's laptop.
I think it was so funny that he had, when I was producing for a show earlier this week, he has the paper, like the actual paper of every bracket for the past 35 years of the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
No way.
Yes, he had it folded up in studio. Every single printed bracket that he's ever filled out for the last 35 years.
Oh, my God.
Guys like that
don't
have
Macs. That's unbelievable.
They don't have Macs.
That's like the next step is you just start making a mask out of human skin. That's serial killer level weirdness.
Yeah, that's unbelievable is what that is.
He went now, serial killer on him.
And I don't know I think I told you guys this in the
past. He tucks his shirt into his jeans with no belt. Also a serial killer move.
Yeah, that was one that you definitely were tweeting about. I think I told you guys this, but Jim Foley, and obviously Jim Foley's, you know, old school, but Jim Foley is still that guy. Like, he has said, Jim Foley, the ex-Rockets announcer and former PR guy, he literally 10, 15 times a year when I work there, and still does it from time to time, he clips newspaper clippings, he scotch tapes them to a piece of computer, of just printer paper, and then mails them to you in a handwritten note because it has something to do with something that happened back home in Wisconsin or something like that. And every time he used to walk into my computer, he'd go, "Joel, can you get on that computer thing of yours and check out a couple of stats on this guy?" And then I'd start, typing it in, and I'd go, "Foley, hang on, some of the stats." He goes, "Yeah, see, that's why it's in my head. It's a lot quicker than you using the damn computer that I'll never get it." And I'm like, okay. He has file cabinets full of newspaper clippings to this day.
Why do you make him sound like he's got Parkinson's, though? Like, why does he got to sound like that?
First of all, I think he does now.
Oh, my bad.
But yeah, but second of all, because Foley was, we used to always call him the Katharine Hepburn of broadcasting because he didn't, we talked about this. He didn't go to broadcast school. He was a PR guy that just because he happened to sit next to Gene Peterson, they eventually kind of integrated into the broadcast, and then he became the color analyst for the Rockets. And by the way, I did verify, fellas, that was spam mail that I got. But Lisa absolutely does auto bill pay for the Netflix through her iTunes, okay. And I was wrong.
Good. But so apparently UVerse is raising their prices again, and I don't understand in this day and age of cutting the cord and everyone moving to YouTube TV or, whatever else.
Apple
streaming
TV, right?
TV services. Yeah, Apple. Why would you be raising prices? You're pricing yourself out of the market. Like, no one's going to want your antiquated cable packages, UVerse, if you keep raising the prices.
Did this just come out?
Well, no, at the beginning of the year they raised them, okay. And I think they're raising them again. So.
Yeah, especially now. I mean, that's the last thing you should be doing. But, yeah, overall, because there's so much competition, I got to believe DirecTV sooner or later is going to be in the crosshairs too, because they're killing it. They charge so much money monthly, and people just pay it. And then they had the corner of the market on the NFL Sunday Ticket. And so they got another cross-section that felt like they had to go with DirecTV. But like you said, with more streaming services and more options out there, I don't know how they can't start considering lowering the prices or face the fact that people are just so pissed off for how much they've been paying for so long, they're just going to walk away.
Well, check this text out. Somebody said, "Hey, Barry, I heard you mention AT&T raising prices. I'm a technician for them, and apparently their excuse for raising prices is they've had it set up to increase since last year, and I guess they think it's impossible to just cancel it. They won't turn off internet or phone service during quarantine, but you will still owe the money after it's over, and they'll turn it off if you don't catch up. Thankfully, I still have a job, but that's pretty shady of them." Yeah, I think I'm done with them from a TV perspective. I'm going to find an alternative because it just keeps getting more and more expensive for no reason. Like, you're not – there's no enhancement to the TV. And I don't – we rarely, other than local channels and maybe TNT for basketball or whatever, but – like, there's really – and that's available on a lot of these streaming services like YouTube TV and whatnot. There's just no reason to have UVerse or Xfinity anymore. I just don't see it.
I cut the cord on that 4 or 5 years ago, so I no disagreement from me. So
I feel like old man Joe right now with AT&T. Okay.
I will say the experience is better, though. The experience is better. Like, the fact that, like, you have a remote in your hand – and you can change channels significantly quicker, in my opinion. I kind of miss that part. Now, I do have a remote, and I have like a guide and everything, and I can change channels, but not as easily as if I had like a box. You know what I mean? So I will say the experience of like changing channels is better, in my opinion, when you don't go the online route.
Now, I agree with that, but let me say this, Barry, because it's crazy that you've gotten to such. When you're talking about AT&T DirecTV, especially, it got worse when they combined forces and became one big company. But the other thing is, when you realize that if you have an issue, they don't care about you so much so that the only way you can do is you call an 800 number to complain. Normally in businesses, like even with restaurants, if you don't like something that happened at the restaurant, you can get to the manager on duty, then you can get to corporate, or you can get to an office to get to a bigger title that's overseeing customer service. They control everything in terms of who complains and they dictate who you complain to, what you could possibly get out of it, and you never can reach their corporate offices or anybody above them. It's like they don't care about you that much, and they know you're still going to keep paying.
Well, they're going to be sadly mistaken, because I'm going to stop paying here pretty soon. Somebody texted and said, "Barry doesn't talk about sports. All he talks about is BS, and they use the bull word." That's not true. We literally spent – and by the way, what sports would you like us to talk about, or me? What sports would you like me to bring up? Marble racing?
You didn't see the game last night?
Stay home, bro. Log off. Quit listening.
You didn't see the game last night?
I'm sorry. All the sports that's going on that we're not talking about. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's no games going on.
None.
But the BS, that's how the BS report got started, wasn't it?
What? Oh, yeah.
The BS exactly report, right. Because Barry's full that's of BS. Right. That's how the BS.
We don't even talk about sports. Yeah, I'm the only one on this show. We talk about whatever we want to talk about. You don't have to listen. That's voluntary.
Exactly. There you go. All right, so we hope you volunteer to catch another segment of the show. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.